Welcome to the House of Mary OMD podcasting series, Beyond Consecration to Jesus Through Mary. Help the Theotokens spread devotion to the Mother of God and her messages. Share this free audio link and other items from the website. And now, episode 12, Mary, Co-Redemptrix.
Good evening, everyone. Greetings to our audio and YouTube listeners. All winter, we've been exploring the person and role of the Mother of God as the fulfillment of the original Eve. This has required some avant-garde theological explorations, but we've been motivated by three driving questions. Why, in her numerous apparitions, does Mary ask for prayer and even sacrifice offered to her, a mere human being? Why, in her numerous apparitions, does she ask for consecration to her heart, a mere human being? And why, in her numerous apparitions, does she insist on a new dogma? Over the months, we've been building up the case that God's original plan was to consecrate the first parents as king and queen, with authority over all the nation families on the earth, who would actually be their own offspring, their own flesh and blood. We saw that one of the first duties as joint co-rulers would have been to officially expel all the demons from the garden and the whole earth. We also saw a pattern of the Holy Trinity within that original holy first family. The Son of God himself would be the first fruit of the chaste obedience and humble submission of Eve, who agreed to become wife and mother, thus bonding into a family, Adam the Father and Christ the Ben Adam. Eve herself, as maternal bond, would represent the hovering Holy Spirit. We developed the practicalities of what the ideal government of the family of nations would look like. We called it a hagiocracy, and found much help in distinguishing the roles of Adam, Eve, and Ben Adam, and executive, judicial, and legislative branches by looking to the interrelationships of the three divine persons of the Trinity. We also saw a Trinitarian pattern in the role of priests, religious and laity in this holy society. Naturally, we focus particularly on the spirit-like role of Eve as Queen Mother and First Lady, because this role is in motion, as it were, and thus difficult to capture and define with precision. We began to understand how beautiful the world could be if we could start over with a new Eve ruling with a new Adam. The first amazing thing that would happen if Mary would be allowed to exercise her queenship with her son is that they could officially expel all the demons from the earth. Once we had Satan out of the way and the thick cloud of disturbing spirits, people could calm down and reason more clearly and thus become more open to the truth of the gospel. But a document can't do that. It wouldn't be enough for a pope to proclaim a new dogma for Mary to be authorized as the new Eve, because a queen cannot exercise power in a vacuum. She has to have subjects who appreciate her, who are pledged to heed her commands and fight her battles and expand her territory. In her numerous apparitions, Mary asks for prayer and even sacrifice offered to her. What is prayer to this unique woman, if not supplication to a queen, that she may present our petitions to the king and plead as a mother on behalf of her children? Yes, children can approach their father directly, but he is far more inclined to be indulgent and lenient with the unworthy child who humbly asks his mother to represent him. But this isn't a case of naughty individuals, but a delegation, a consecrated body that represents a great petition on behalf of a world turned into a Sodom and Gomorrah, begging God to spare the earth for the sake of these faithful. In her numerous apparitions, Mary asks for consecration to her human heart. And what is consecration to Mary's immaculate heart, if not an oath of loyalty to serve this queenly Gebira as the lawful replacement of the first woman who was created immaculate but rebelled against God? In her numerous apparitions, Mary insists on a new dogma concerning the dignity of the First Lady of all the nations, Queen of heaven and earth, which she says must be explained and not merely proclaimed. What is this about, if not the enthusiastic and official proclamation of the Church, the mystical bride of Christ, pledging to assume her own role as daughter of the Queen of Heaven and Earth, the Mother of all nations? The Church must acknowledge the Mother's holiness and recognize her duty to emulate this Mother by accompanying the nations who are Mary's beloved children and bring them all to Christ. Why isn't the Church making a better impact on the world? Because we say that we are the mystical body of Christ, who is our head, but we don't understand that this means that Christ is the head of the marriage. The bride has her own body, just as a leader of a nation is the head of a social body. Without a leader, a nation can't act in a coordinated manner, even though it may have many good citizens. As first believer and first disciple, Mary is the face and icon of the bride. The Church cannot shine before the world as a strong and radiant being unless the members understand their leader and their identity. If this dogma is promulgated and understood, it will rally the faithful to a new level of joy, enthusiasm, and confidence. They will be filled with the Holy Spirit, as with the new Pentecost, feeling overshadowed like their queen, and made pregnant with the great increase of baptized souls, who will rush forth to breathe new life into a dark and dying world. Mary's apparitions and messages have borne much fruit. Millions of Catholics are praying to Mary, particularly with the Rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace. Holy Mary, pray for us now. Millions have consecrated themselves to her Immaculate Heart. But the dogma is going in circles. Listen to her words. We cannot defeat Satan and bring in the new era without this dogma. Here are a few extracts from her approved messages at Amsterdam. Quoting a message, May 31st, 1954. The Lady of all nations wishes for unity in the true Holy Spirit. The world is covered by a false spirit, by Satan. Once the dogma, the final dogma in Marian history, has been proclaimed, the Lady of all nations will grant peace, true peace, to the world. They shall know that the Lady of all nations has come as co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. Just for a heads up, if you're not familiar with Amsterdam, Mary always speaks in the third person, very authoritatively as a head of state. And then a message from 1952, December 8th. The Lady of all nations is here, everywhere, to help you, for she is the co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. This will be the final dogma. Work on it promptly and quickly. The Lady of all nations promises to help the world if it acknowledges this title, if it invokes her under this title. Make this message known. It is high time. Do not be afraid. I am helping. And then on August 15th, 1951, the seer, Ida Peterman, says, the Lady places herself again before the cross, and I am greatly distressed at the sight of her suffering. I see a bright light coming from the cross, and the Lady says, humanity is entrusted to the Mother. For the Son said, woman, behold your Son. Son, behold your Mother. Therefore, co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate, tell this to your theologians. Say that I wish to be and shall be the co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. And then a lengthy portion from the May 10th message, 1953. Great threats are hanging over the Church, are hanging over the world. Now the moment has come for you to speak of Mary as co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate under the title the Lady of all nations. Why is Mary asking this of you? Because she has been sent by her Lord and Creator so that she, under this title and through this prayer, may deliver the world from a great world catastrophe. Satan's hand is passing over the whole world, holding a die. That is something for stamping a design. So I'm asking, is this an allusion to the mark of the beast who stamps and marks the people with his sign? And she continues, do you know, Church, community, what this means? Satan is still the prince of this world. He holds on to everything he can. That is why the Lady of all nations had to come now, in this time, for she is the Immaculate Conception, and thus the co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. These three thoughts in one. Theologians, do you hear this well? Oh, I guess this is Ida who says, and it is as if the lady would put three parts of something into one another, into one whole. Then she says, this lady had to bring her prayer now over the satanic world, for the Holy Spirit is still to come over the peoples. Understand this message well. Pray my prayer then, peoples, that the Holy Spirit shall really and truly come. Mary's new order of the Mother of God must make it a priority to make this dogma understood. In the long term, in centuries to come, the order will use this dogma as a basis for us to expound and enrich the spiritual maturity of the people of God. But in the short term, we need to understand that this dogma will authorize Mary as the new Eve so that she can join her voice to the new Adam and do what the first couple failed to do in the garden. The last Adam and the new Eve will definitively cast Satan and all the evil spirits out of the earth. This will be the triumph. The demons will have to return to hell and not be allowed to tempt or disturb mankind. The earth will know a peace it's never, ever known, and the cloud of obscurity that covers the truth will be lifted. Millions will want to become Christian. Mary calls this new order a missionary order because its members will help instruct millions of people in this earth. This is the Trinitarian dogma, co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. She rolls three things into one. She said it herself. The lady would put three parts of something into one another, into one whole. Our whole meditation this winter on the original garden kept driving us deeper and deeper into the Trinity, giving us greater clarity in the radical distinction in the three persons and how they interrelate. This was the model for understanding the ideal plan for the first family in the garden. And now we are theologically prepared to understand the reconstruction and re-implementation of that original garden with a new first family. At Amsterdam, Mary always named the threefold dogma in this precise order, co-redemptrix first, mediatrix, then advocate. I believe this gives us a clue to understanding her titles in relationship to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This evening, let's see how co-redemptrix could be understood in her relationship to the Father. The original Eve and first Adam would have had more offspring in God's original plan. In the new script, the offspring of the serpent is all of humanity, except for the sinless Jesus and Mary. The Father of the Redeemer, in the new script, is God, the first person, the eternal Father of his divinity. And Joseph, as new Adam, is protector of Jesus' new humanity, as spouse of Jesus' human mother. The mother of the Redeemer, of Jesus, the Son of Man, the Ben Adam, the last Adam, is Mary, as new Eve, mother of his humanity. And God, the third person, is the one who binds Christ's divinity to his humanity, overshadowing the Word made flesh in a continuous hypostasis. Joseph and Mary, in their roles of new Adam and new Eve, cannot and do not start the human race over, but they conceive Ben Adam, or last Adam, and their divine Son will renew the human race that already exists. They present, Joseph and Mary, present Ben Adam to the Father in the temple, and their son is returned to the parents by Simeon. Jesus is firstborn and high priest by nature of his divinity and of his obedience. Now, Ben Adam is put into a deep sleep on the cross. Jesus, son of Adam, Ben Adam, in his death on the cross, becomes father, brother, and spouse of his mystical daughter, Jerusalem, as she issues as an infant from his side in a torrent of Eucharistic blood and baptismal water. Jesus' mother, new Eve, and mystical spouse of the Spirit, hovers nearby the cross. As daughter Jerusalem, the daughter of herself, the new Eve, issues from the side of Mary's son, Ben-Adam. Mary is not the physical mother of this daughter who mystically issues from the side of her son. And this daughter is not a physical person. And Mary is not the physical wife of her son, nor the physical mother of the mystical daughter of Jerusalem. Mary, the new Eve, is the Gebira, the queen mother of the daughter Jerusalem, the church. Daughter Jerusalem is the image and likeness of her mother, the new Eve. Daughter Jerusalem is the sister and bride of Christ, the Ben-Adam. However, at the mystical level, Mary is also wife or bride of her son, because all the redeemed must be part of the one bride, whose head and husband is God the Son. Christ is the only way that humanity in the flesh can be caught up into the Trinity on the last day. Individually, human spirits can enter into the presence of God after death, but not in the flesh. Mary is the sole exception because of her unique physical relationship to Christ incarnate. So, having clarified, very briefly, these roles of relationships to the double nature of God incarnate, we can affirm that Mary, in the role of New Eve, has a very unique and indispensable role in the redemption of humanity. This flows primarily from her Immaculate Conception, as Mary said at Amsterdam. Many theologians today assume her privileges flow from her divine motherhood, but it was the grace of the Immaculate Conception which predisposed her for the role of the first Eve, who was created immaculate, but fell into temptation and sin. Mary did not fall from grace. The angel Gabriel hailed her as full of grace, and she gave free and willing consent to cooperate in the birth and mission of the Redeemer. Her divine motherhood came after her decision to remain immaculate. After her son was born, she and Joseph offered their child up to the will of the Father for the redemption of humanity. Since Joseph was not the human father, Mary possessed the unique prerogative of full parental rights. Mary not only consented to the immolation of her son for humanity, including herself, she stood in for humanity at the cross as First Lady, to be splashed with the blood of the new covenant and baptized in the water of redemption. She alone had absolute and perfect faith that this violent and gruesome death was not a disaster, but the price of our redemption. All the apostles ran away when Christ was arrested. John returned and stood with Mary at the cross, but he did not fully believe until he entered the tomb on Easter morning. The women who stood with Mary did not fully believe either in his imminent and redemptive resurrection because they went off to prepare spices to embalm his body. Mary did not join the women in this important Jewish ritual. She does not remain weeping at the tomb because she alone of all Israel possessed the fullness of perfect faith, hope, and charity. She alone was disposed to receive the gift of redemption in the name of humanity. Thus, she alone is uniquely co-redemptrix. Other believers can help to redeem mankind by filling up what is wanting in Christ's sufferings. Ultimately, his act of redemption with Mary co-redemptrix was complete. It is only lacking in the sense that it needs to be received by sinners. Some need to hear the gospel proclaimed and the good news of redemption offered. They require the sufferings of Christians who will make the sacrifice of their time, talent, and treasure to spread the word. Other sinners heard the gospel and then rejected it, but still have a chance of repentance if someone would offer sacrifice for their sin, not for original sin, which Christ atoned for, but for their personal sin, which is blinding and enchaining them again. All these workers in the vineyard might be called co-workers or even co-redeemers, but only in a relative sense. Mary alone, as New Eve, is a unique and indispensable co-redemptrix with the Ben-Adam, the last Adam. At Amsterdam, Mary said, this is April 6, 1952, "This time is our time. The new dogma, which is to come, is the final Marian dogma. The Lady of all nations, as the co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. At the sacrifice of the cross, the Son gave this title to the entire world. No matter who or what you are, for you, I am the Lady. For the order of the Mother of God, the body of Mary, this is our time also. The rule of Mary is all about the family of nations. It's about a missionary outreach. It's about the sanctification of all states of life. This is heavy theology, even for professional theologians. Too bad. Mary expects the people to be taught the meaning and implications of this dogma. She doesn't think we are stupid. She was a village girl, but she was quite capable of understanding and cooperating with profound graces. We have to make an effort to study and meditate and grasp this new dogma so that we can articulate it, expound it, defend it, publish it, and promote it. Deuteronomy 6, I close with the words of Moses to Israel. Let these words to which Mary has commanded us this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. God bless you.